Hey everybody. Thanks again for joining me. I am your host, Tom Funk. And this is Tom's Trail Tales, also part of the Michigan Trails Report. And we've been putting to podcast my 50 Hikes in Michigan Upper Peninsula book. And let's continue with our hikes across Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And today's hike will bring us to number 26 in the book, which is the Blind Sucker River Pathway. Sounds kind of scary, but, well, it really isn't. But you do need to be a little brave, because this Michigan State Forest pathway is lightly used and in a somewhat remote area. So this loop parallels the Dead Sucker River, rising and falling over the landscape, mostly through dry forest and marsh. Total distance is going to be 6.7 miles. Your hiking time, 3 to 5 hours, and it's mostly moderate gradient with a few sandy, challenging climbs, I guess you could say. And your high points will be views of the Dead Sucker River Valley, blueberries when they're in season, and walking view of Lake Superior. A few map geeks are going to need USGS 7.5 Grand Marais Northeast, and you can also download any of the maps on the North Country Trail website. So this trail traverses three rustic campgrounds with portable water, pit toilets, and fishing opportunities. So this is a great hike in the Upper Peninsula if you want to do a break-in hike. And you can also link this hike to another hike in the book. And that's at Muskellunk State Park, making a barbell backpack loop hike. And I do have in here that pets are not recommended, only because this is an area with a lot of bears. So please keep that in mind. So from Grand Marais, you're going to take H-58 East, and the pavement ends once you cross into Luce County. Although they have been working on the road, rumor is it's going to be paved for quite a bit into Luce County in the near future. 5 miles from the county line, turn south on the Blind Sucker number 1, and the trailhead parking is marked. And if you continue on 407, Blind Sucker number 2 is on County Road 410, about 2 miles further on down the road. So you can start at either Blind Sucker number 1 or Blind Sucker number 2. The trailhead is officially at number 2, although it makes your journey a lollipop loop. And save yourself some extra time, mostly by not driving that extra 4 miles. Park at the marked trailhead at number 1. That's what I have done when I have hiked it. At the Blind Sucker number 2 campground, there is a sign with an overview of the area. And starting out on a flat and wide path, you'll maneuver through sandy soils and a small grove of pines and shrubs. The spur trail leads between Blind Sucker number 1 and number 2 campgrounds and is about 0.2 miles from the trailhead to the bridge atop a dam over the Blind Sucker River, where you'll probably find some folks fishing during fishing season. The impoundment behind the dam is the Blind Sucker Reservoir, which offers fishing for bass and bluegill. Cross the bridge and note the parking area on your right. Veer left and follow the blue circular blazes into the campground. The trailhead is on your right between a couple of campsites. Pass between the happy campers and immediately clamber up a moderately steep hill. Hike up a blueberry-covered ridge and you'll see that this trail is wide and well used. Let's see. So you're going to be walking amongst some bracken ferns, blueberry bushes, and when you reach the top, the trail will turn left, and you will be following a sand mound of sorts, more of an esker than a ridge. And on your left, you'll reach the intersection with the North Country Trail, and this will be in the Dead Sucker River Valley. Continue clockwise, and your sand esker turns more into an embankment, and you'll be walking along its edge. Through the sparse white spruce, red pine, and jack pine, you'll be afforded spectacular views of the river valley. The wide, unspoiled view makes you feel more like you're in Alaska, not Michigan, but without the mountains. The maturing forest is showing a few more red oaks, but its sandy soil still only allows red pine and some white pine to dominate. White spruces are sparse and not of any great size. About 8/10 of a mile from the campground, the trail becomes more lightly used. Overhanging bracken ferns continue, the blueberry bushes continue, and it may make it difficult to find the path at times, especially at the end of summer. However, the blue blazes will be your beacons leading you through the forest. Descend to the edge of the river valley in order to traverse a swampy area on a boardwalk, and as soon as you cross the boardwalk, you head back up to a sand esker that continues to parallel the river valley. The habitat becomes more jack pine dominated. Dry northern forest in this stretch is what it is called, while the swamp is mostly black spruce and cedar swamp with some Spirea alba. By this point, you will notice that you may be the first person to step on this trail in days. Keep checking the ground for footprints, and instead of Nike and Merrells, look for fox, coyote, deer, and maybe even a bear or even wolf tracks. This is truly a wild area. The Blind Sucker Trail continues to taunt you. Will I be on a sand ridge, or am I going to be following this edge to a river basin? And you'll occasionally turn inland away from the view of the river basin only to return. On the first turn inland, keep your eyes open for signs of a past forest fire. There are several scarred trees, some still living from a fire that passed through many years ago. A puncheon boardwalk is underfoot as you enter a black spruce and cedar swamp. And while the ground is rather flat here, soon after the swamp ends, make a steep climb back up to the top of the sand ridge you have been accustomed to traversing. By this point, you have been swatting mosquitoes and deer flies, and although you may be in a very dry habitat, you're close enough to the breeding grounds of these pests that they'll be a problem. As you swat, you can still see through the trees to the river basin. The trail takes on the appearance of a two-track, and at about the point your river basin is more of a marsh, the thread of the stream has been swallowed up by the scores of sedges. A lake shown on the map is dry. The only sign of its past glory is the desiccated muck that once lay at its bottom. The two-track peels off into the woods and becomes a trail again. Keep your eyes open on those blue blazes because they're going to appear more frequently now as the trail itself is barely noticeable on the ground. Another 2/10 of a mile further along, black spruce and white cedar swamp is on the left and a sandy hill on your right, while the mosquitoes, well, they continue to be voracious. The pathway on the ground has disappeared, but the blue blazes are still frequent and your confidence should remain high. Keep the swamp on your left and the hill on your right, and the mosquitoes will follow. The path does reappear on the ground after you leave the swampy area and climb a primitive wooden staircase to the top of a sand hill you have been following. This is a 60-foot climb or so, and your reward at the three-mile mark is a picnic table at the intersection with the North Country Trail. The view is wide and sweeping. This spot has become a popular primitive campsite for obvious reasons. Descend down the backside of the hill, leaving the views of the river basin behind, and the blazes have become blue rectangles, which is the North Country Trail standard, and the habitat continues to be dominated by red pines, jack pines, and this is known as Northern Dry Forest. At the bottom of the hill, cross an ORV trail at the 2 miles from the intersection, and 0.2 miles from the intersection, and soon after, find yourself merging with a two-track. You will need to pay attention here as the hiking trail will split off to the right, and it's heavily blazed to draw your attention to this fact. You can measure this course not by its length, but by the number of times you need to retie your shoelaces. The brackens and blueberries overhanging your feet tear at your boots near the entire length of your excursion. In late summer, you can grab a tasty treat as compensation for having to stop so often. And of course, that would be the blueberries. Climb slowly as you move across the contour of the landscape on the faint path, which is surprisingly easy to follow, and you're going to be following these blue blazes. Stay with the blazes as you approach a seed tree cutting on the left. And this looks like an open field with little clumps of trees here and there. Parallel a clear cut for about 100 yards into the woods, which has become mostly jack pines with a ground covering of lichens. As you continue to the north, the terrain flattens out. You know, it is amazing that even so close to the Earth's largest freshwater lake, you are essentially walking through a desert-like area. After an eastward bend in the trail, the canopy opens up, and the landscape continues to get drier in appearance with sparse jack pines. Even the bracken ferns are struggling for moisture at this point. Up over this ridge, you will be back in a thicker, more mature forest, and another clear cut will appear on your right and hug the edge of the forest until you reach County Road 407. Crossing County Road 407, it is a straight northward shot, 0.3 miles until you reach Lake Superior. The trail is perched on the edge where the forest meets the sandy beach and dunes. And the habitat has considerably changed to paper birch, white pine, and red maple. The ground is covered with mosses and blueberries. Turn east and parallel the Lake Superior shore and enjoy the mostly flat ground. And it's about 1.5 miles from where you first reach the shore. The trail turns inland slightly and you'll face several small ascents and descents before returning to the edge of the forest and the view of the lake. Greet campers at the Lake Superior State Forest Campground as you walk the entire campground between their campsites and the edge of the lake while you're still in the forest setting. The trail brings you up and onto County Road 407 for about a tenth of a mile, and look for the blue blazes leading you away from the North Country Trail and back 0.6 miles towards the Blind Sucker Campgrounds. The trail allows you to revisit the dry jack pine and red pine forest, then climbs up and over a small hill for your final descent into Blind Sucker number 1, and the bridge back to the trailhead is on your left. So keep in mind, this was written about 15 years ago, and some of these clear cuts have probably grown up. This is also an area of active logging, so keep that in mind. The foresters up there do a really good job of keeping the trail clear when they are doing forestry operations up there. And yeah, like I said, this is a great trail. It takes in a chunk of the North Country Trail, and you have a lot of choices for camping in the area. And it's a hike that most people haven't heard about, and I know more people are hiking it now than 15 years ago. When I hiked it, I was probably the only person that hiked it in a month because there was so much ground cover covering the tread, and that's probably not the case anymore since hiking is so popular. All right, so that was the Blind Sucker Pathway. I hope you can get out and enjoy it someday. Thanks for joining me today, and we'll see you out on the trail, and again, as we continue our hikes across the Upper Peninsula.